Good evening. Greetings to each of you this evening in the Master's name. One who has washed us in his own blood because he loves us. One who sent out his Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, convince us that we need a Savior, and to point us to the Savior himself. Praise the Lord. How's it going in establishing a new, wonderful new habit of saying good morning to the Lord? How many can answer that you did that this morning? Raise your hand. Thank you. You're growing. You're getting there, but we only have one more day of meetings, and some more need to learn this wonderful practice and establish it as a habit for until Jesus comes for you. A little lesson for the children tonight. When I was a boy, I would say my parents, it seemed like they were kind of poor. Didn't have a lot of money. My father was a farmer and he was a preacher. And it just seemed like we didn't get a lot of things that other children got. I well remember one year in school that my shoes were wore out that I wore for school. And there was some of my friends in school had started to wear the new kind of shoes that had just come out. They were called hush puppies. They were nice, soft leather, and they didn't go clunk, clunk, clunk. You know, they were nice and quiet and soft. And I told my mom that I really want a pair of hush puppies. Could you get me a pair of hush puppies? And she said, well, Alvin, you know we don't have much money. If you really want a pair of new shoes, you're going to have to start praying for them. I remember her telling me that. So I endeavored diligently to ask the Lord for a new pair of gray hush puppy shoes. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And the holes in my shoes got bigger. And the weeks went by. And finally, I came home from school one day, and Mom said, hey, there's something in the paper bag on the table for you, that especially for you, I think it's an answer to your prayer. So I hastened over to the table, and I reached into that paper, brown paper bag, and I pulled out a pair of used green hush puppy shoes. Now, I had never seen green shoes before, and I was not favorably impressed at all. In fact, I told Mom, I'm not going to wear those things for school. Not only were they green, they were about three sizes too big for me. And Mom reminded me, well, you're growing, and by the end of the school year, they might just fit. So the next morning, when it was time to get ready for school, you want to guess what for shoes I put on when I came downstairs to go to school? Anybody want to guess? I put my old ones on because there was no way I wanted to wear those green shoes to school. Mom seen me in the kitchen. I had a wonderful mother, and she said, Alvin, go right upstairs and change your shoes to the pair that you prayed for and God provided. And I knew I couldn't convince my mother otherwise, so I reluctantly did that on the outside while I wasn't doing it on the inside. And I remember going to school that day. I remember sitting in the car and setting my lunch kettle on top of my feet. So the people that we drove with, the boy that we drove with that was in my grade, wouldn't see my green shoes. But you know, you can't cover your shoes when you get out of the car to walk into school. That doesn't work so well. And so I sheepishly got out of the car and walked into school with my used green hush puppies. I set my lunch kettle in the inside the school where we usually did, and then I, as was the custom, we go outside and play until the bell rings. I will never forget it. I came out the front door of the Myerstown School, turned to my right to go around the building to the playground, and as I went around the corner, there was a group of girls coming my direction, and the first girl in line was kind of loud. And she stopped in her tracks, her mouth fell open, and she pointed to my shoes, and she said, "Look at those green shoes! They look like frog slime!" And I acquired a new nickname. For a while, I was called Frog Slime at school. Oh, I hated it. I despised it. And of course, I was prepared to tell my mom what happened that day when I got home from school, and she said, "Elvin, these are the shoes that God provided for you, and you are going to wear them." Now, as a young boy, that really ate me up that I was called frog slime, but I don't care one bit if you call me that anymore. That won't bother me one bit anymore, because you know why? I met Jesus, and he crucified my pride. And he's continuing to do that. He really is. And I just want to throw out a warning for the parents here. Be careful how you baby your children and cater to them. For you see, I can look back to that instance in my life and see that God was preparing me for something he had down the road for me. Let me illustrate. One of the first messages I was called to preach after I was ordained deacon in 1981, I studied and I prayed and I finally thought I had something to share with the congregation. Went to church and poured out my heart, what the Lord had laid on my heart. Got home from church, wasn't home very long at all, and the telephone rang. And the brother that I shared the lot with said these words, "Brother Elvin, I don't know if you are aware of it or not, but nobody was listening to your message this morning. There wasn't an ounce of spiritual truth in it whatsoever. I recommend to you that you resign." Now, if I'd have been catered to all my childhood years, what do you think I would have done? Fathers and mothers, prepare your children for soldiering in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being willing to stand against opposition, being willing to stand against being made fun of, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? All right. Would you boys like to be called frog slime? No. Turn in your Bibles with me for a message tonight to the book, the only book in the Bible that the Bible says you're going to get a blessing if you simply read it. You know what the book that is? The book of Revelation. "Blessed is he that readeth," the Bible says. I'd like to, my text tonight is taken from the third chapter and verse 20. And the title of my message tonight is a little bit different. The title of my message tonight is, "Do I hear someone knocking? Shh. Do I hear someone knocking?" Jesus speaking to the Laodicean church, because of their lukewarmness, indifference, and coldness, he gives them this declaration in verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." I think all of us can understand those words, can't we? Probably many of us have seen the sign, the painting that's hung on a lot of our walls in our homes of Jesus standing at the door knocking. One little girl had that picture hanging in her home, and she looked at it, and she looked at it, and she looked at it, and then she asked her daddy, "Did they let him in?" And the man was not a Christian. And he said, I don't think so. And then the little girl said, well, maybe they were living in the basement and never heard Jesus knocking. You know, it's possible for us here in 2025 to be living in the basement and stop our ears to the knocking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I've chosen to entitle this message tonight, Shh, Quiet. Do I hear someone knocking? I have six questions for our consideration, our outline this evening. And I would like to ask these questions as we go through here and try to give you answers from the Holy Scriptures. First of all, who is talking here in Revelation 3, verse 20? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it's in red letters in your Bible. It's Jesus talking. Jesus introduced himself and gave some of his own characteristics in the book of John, in the I Ams that he declared that he is. Let me just briefly go through some of them. Jesus said of himself, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11 through 14. He leads his disciples, his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He disciples his sheep. And he also disciplines his sheep. I am the good shepherd. John 6, verse 35, Jesus said of himself, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I've thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Are you still thirsting tonight? Is your soul thirsting? Are you hungry? Are you looking for something that really satisfies the emptiness within you? Listen to the man, the Godhead, who's knocking on your heart's door. I am the light of the world, John 9 and verse 5. Is darkness encroaching upon your life? Just let Jesus come in with his far bigger than a flashlight. Just illuminate where you are. You're standing before God. And illuminate where you're going. Jesus himself indeed is the light of the world. I am the door, John 10 and verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two, we used to sing as a little boy. Inside and outside, on which side are you? Yes, Jesus is the door to eternal life. He's the door to make it to heaven. Only one door, only one. And that is Jesus Christ. He's the one that's knocking. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 36, I am the Son of God. In John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth on me shall never die. Yes, I know what it's like to be a dead teenager. To have crossed the line from childhood innocency to a realization, I stand guilty before a holy God. But Jesus came to give life to the dead. That's who's knocking. I am the resurrection and life. Let me read that again. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever believeth on me shall never die. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I heard an evangelist say one time, and I never forgot it, if you want to go to California, you can go by train, you can go by airplane, you can go by motorcycle, you can go by bus, You can go by automobile. You can even go on a bicycle. It might take you a long time, but you can do that. But to get to heaven, there's only one way, and that is accepting Jesus Christ. It's the only way is to open the door to the knocking Savior who's standing outside. John 15:1-2, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the Greek letter A, and the last letter in the alphabet, Z. I came to understand what Jesus was saying here one time when I was driving down the city of Lebanon, and I seen a sign, A to Z vacuums and everything in between. That's our Jesus. The beginning and the end and everything in between. In him we live and move and we have our being. We can't do anything without Jesus. So why would we leave him shut out of our life? Locked out of her life when he's standing outside knocking. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 1:18. Who's talking? Jesus, the great I am. Second question for our consideration this evening is, what is he doing in our text? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing on the outside because the individual hasn't opened the door to his knocking. That's what he's doing. He's standing outside knocking, waiting for the human being to swing open the door and say, come in, I need you. He's knocking at the door because he is very courteous. He is a courteous man. He doesn't force his way through that door of a human heart. But he comes and approaches an individual and so graciously stands outside. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Is anybody home? I'm looking for a place to abide. I'm looking for a place to sup with someone. Would you please let me in? That's what he's doing. He's speaking. He wants to give the prisoners a gift. Did you know some years ago there was a prisoner who was in prison for a long, long sentence? He had a long, long sentence, many, many years. On one occasion, the governor decided he wanted to free that man and give him a pardon and let him get out of prison without another day in prison. He walked to that man's prison cell and stood there knocking. He had a pardon in his hand to forgive the man of his transgression and set him free. The man sat in his cell and wouldn't get up and tell him, come on in. He stood out there knocking, the governor did, for quite a while. But finally, he wasn't welcomed in, and so he passed on, and the man stayed in prison for many, many years. He's speaking. He wants to give the prisoners a gift, and that is pardon for their iniquities. Open the door. Please open the door. I have a gift for you. That's what he's doing, standing outside, knocking. I have the gift of life for you. I have the gift of heaven for you. I have the gift of eternal life for you. But you've got to open the door. Shh. Do I hear someone knocking? Third question, who is he talking to? He is not talking to people who have already opened the door. No, he's already inside of their heart, you see. He is talking to people who have never, ever opened the door to Jesus personally. Those who have never invited him in. Those who have not surrendered their all, their whole being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's standing at their heart's door. Would you let me in? I have a gift for you. Would you let me in? I have an invaluable gift for you. Something eternal. Something that nobody else can give you. Do you hear me knocking? Will you let me in? Who's he talking to? Those who have never invited him in. Those who have not surrendered all. That brings us to the fourth question tonight. Why is he knocking? May I hasten to tell you, he is outside knocking because he loves you tremendously. He loves you so much, he was willing to die that horrible, painful death on Calvary just for you. And I really believe if you were to be the only human being on the face of this earth, he would have done it just for you. I really believe that. Why is he knocking? Because he loves you. Secondly, he's knocking because he pities you. He does. Just like that good Samaritan had pity on that poor fellow that was robbed by the side of the road, had compassion on him. So Jesus looks upon our wicked, selfish, proud, sinful, arrogant self. Oh, the poor soul. The poor soul, he thinks he's really smart. She thinks he's really good, when in reality they're so wicked, and really inside they're so miserable. Jesus looks upon our condition with compassion and pity. That's why he's knocking. He's knocking because he wants to wash us from all the filthiness of our flesh and all the lies we've ever committed and all the horrible thoughts we ever had and all the rebellion we've ever had in our heart. He wants to wash us in his own precious blood. Did you know that if you take a whiteboard and you draw a stick man in black on that whiteboard, and then in the middle of that stick man, you put a big red X for a lie, one lie that he told. And then you put another red X for maybe something they stole. And put another red X for just being rebellious to their parents. So now you've got a whole bunch of red X's in the middle, and that's just like our hearts are, friends. That's the way we are. By the time we've reached adolescence. And then if you take a couple layers of red cellophane paper and put it over that stick man, those red X's turn white. Did you know that? And that's a wonderful illustration of what the blood of Jesus Christ will do for our red X's in our heart. Covered with the blood and made white, whiter than the whiteboard itself. Only Jesus' blood can do that for us. That's why he's knocking. He wants to cleanse us from all the red sins in our life by his own precious blood that he shed on Calvary for our redemption. He wants to wash us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to justify us, make us as though we've never sinned. It's a miracle. But the pages of the Word of God are full of it, the doctrine of justification. Make us, wash us, and then justify us as though we've never done a thing wrong. words just can't come to me to explain that great miraculous doctrine of justification. But may the Holy Spirit help us understand that. He wants to do more than that. He's out there knocking because he wants to adopt us as his own son and daughter. We've become sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. You see, God has the most greatest adoption program in the whole wide world, and he's outside knocking. Hey, poor straying soul. I want to adopt you into the family of my Father in heaven. You poor beggar, you poor vile, wicked, wretched, selfish individual, I want to wash you and I want to cleanse you. I want to justify you and I want to give you sonship and daughtership. That's why he's knocking. He wants to sup with you, our text says. Are you wounded tonight? He is the balm of Gilead. Are you sick? He is the medicine for the soul. Are you spiritually naked? He is the clothing. Are you poor? He is the wealth. Are you hungry? He is the bread. Are you thirsty? He is the water. Are you living in darkness? He is the light of the world. Are you facing a storm? He stills the troubled sea. Are you sentenced to die? Or are you already dead? He is the great partner and life giver. He wants to sup with you. That's why he's standing there knocking. He wants to sanctify you, set you apart for service, and ultimately, he's still not done working with us. I believe Jesus is really longing for the day when he will glorify us. What a day that will be. Who was it in the Bible that said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness? That's when we get to the end of the road, when we experience the doctrine of glorification. But that'll never happen to us if we don't open the door and let him come in and sup with us. Do I hear him knocking? Fifth question for our consideration tonight. How long will he knock? And I'm sorry, I don't have the answer to that question. I just know this. The Spirit will not strive with man forever. The Bible teaches us that. I also know this. As human beings, if you were a wealthy, wealthy merchantman, and you wanted to give some dear soul $1 million, or here in Canada, I better say $10 million. If you were a wealthy person and you wanted to give somebody $10 million, and you walked up to the door and rang the doorbell, or you stood there and knocking, you've seen they're sitting at the table inside. They're still eating. And they won't come to the table. I mean, they won't come to the door, and they won't come to the door, and they won't. What would you do? What would you do? You wanted to give those people $10 million, and they won't come to the door. What would you do? Somebody tell me. You would leave. Eventually, we would leave, every one of us. God isn't different. You see, we're made in his image. My spirit will not always strive with man. That's why the Bible tells us, teaches us very plainly, today if you hear him knocking, today is a day of opportunity. Today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Sixth question for our consideration tonight. How will you respond to Jesus' love and his knocking? How will you personally respond to him standing at your heart's door, knocking ever so softly? You see, we will respond. We will. We will either say, yes, Lord, please come in. I want to be delivered from the bondage of sin and self and my own proudness and wickedness and stubbornness and rebellion. Come in, Lord, just come in, I need you. Or either we will say, no, no. We're making those choices right here tonight. Many of us had said years ago, we've opened the door and said, Jesus, please come in. I need a cleansing. I need a washing. I need to be justified. I need to be sanctified. Oh, Jesus, please help me. We've done that. Are you in that camp tonight? Or do you have your heels cut in, dug in a smug and proud and arrogant way? And you're telling that Holy Spirit, that still small voice, the knocking of Jesus, you're saying, not tonight. Not tonight. Either we are answering to that knocking with a yes or a no. Listen carefully to my next statement, young folks, parents, grandpas and grandmas. This man who's standing at your door is not a crook. He is not a thief. He is not a robber. He is the only Messiah, the only Savior of the world. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Tonight, Lord, I thank you for that wonderful